people. You've heard of the 1984 riots, you've heard of the 2002 Gujarat riots, and now India's history is tainted with the Delhi riots of 2020. 42 Indians have been killed. I say Indian because I'm sure that there are panelists on our show tonight who will selectively take the names of the dead only from one community. But let me be clear. 42 Indians have been killed. There's a WhatsApp forward doing the rounds that says we don't need Pakistan to break us. We're doing enough internally. One life lost is somebody's entire universe. A young child now left fatherless. A young woman now rendered a single mother. Who is to blame for the Delhi riots of 2020? Will anybody be held accountable? Is it the Delhi police? Is it the politics of the Modi government? And what is the way forward? We have on the show tonight, we have Harsh Mandar. He is a civil rights activist, a peace worker, columnist. We have Saurabh Bhardwaj, hopefully, who should join us, two-time ARP MLA. Major Mohammad Ali Shah joining us, a former army officer, an actor, a motivational speaker. Geeta Bhatt, a right-wing leaning political analyst. Vikram Singh, former DGP of the UP police. We have Rana Saifi, author and columnist. And Mohammed Pracha is a lawyer, also one of those against whom a petition, actually along with Harsh Mandar too, a petition has been filed against them for alleged hate speech and provocation against the government. He is a lawyer who has also been very vocal and outspoken in his opposition to the CAA. We have Nick Brooker here joining us. He's a co-founder at Indogenius, and he advises international universities, international companies, government agencies and investors on their interactions with India. But I started the show asking who is to blame for the riots, will anybody be held accountable, and what is the way forward. And so I want to start the show by giving time to those people who have been most affected. All of us will get airtime, we get our voices heard, we get our opinions heard, but these are the people whose voices have been silenced over the past few days as violence has been breaking out in northeast Delhi. We have these ladies here. Ma'am, aapka naam, aap kahan pe rehte ho aur aapke saath kya hua tha?
Mera naam Shavana Begum hai, main Shiv Bihar mein gali number 18 phase 7 mein rehti hu. Main घर में थी, एकदम दिन के 2:30 बजे अचानक गली में शोर शराबा हुआ. देखा तो पत्थरबाजी चल रहा था, छोटे छोटे बच्चे थे, इसलिए लेके अंदर हो गई कि बंद हो जाएगा. देखते देखते वो इतना ज्यादा बढ़ गया शोर शराबा कि शाम होने को आई तो उन्होंने घर में आग लगाना स्टार्ट कर.
आपकी बच्ची थी आपके साथ?
हाँ, मेरे साथ.
कितने साल के बच्चे हैं आपके?
मेरे एक 1.5 साल का लड़का था, एक 6 साल का, एक 8 साल का. तेरों बच्चों को लेके सास संवारी थी मेरे साथ. उनको ऑपरेशन कराया था एक हफ्ता पहले, तो उनकी वही उठने की स्थिति में नहीं थी. फिर भी उन्हें नीचे से ले जाके तीसरी मंजिल पे ले गई कि नीचे से उन्होंने जब आग लगा दी तो छत पे चढ़ के नीचे से कूद काट के.
आप माँ हो, जब आपके बच्चे क्या पूछते हैं आपसे कि माँ यहाँ पे क्या हो रहा है, क्यों हो रहा है?
मेरे बच्चे ये कहते हैं मम्मी सारा स्कूल बैग, मेरे बच्चे स्कूल जाते थे, सारे कॉपी बुके सब कुछ जल गई, सारे घर में आग लगा दी, कुछ भी नहीं बचा. ये कपड़े भी मांग मांग के, ये सलमान भाई के घर ये लोग मुझे निकाल के लाए. पूरी रात छत पे पड़ी रही, नीचे से मकान जलते रहे, ये जाके मुझे निकाल के लाए इन्होंने.
अब आप कहाँ पे रह रहे हो?
मैं इनके सलमान भाई और रिजवान भाई नहीं है, डॉक्टर रिजवान भाई उनके यहाँ रहती हूँ. वही कपड़े, खाना पीना, मेरे बच्चों का ध्यान रख रहे है. बच्चे भी बीमार पड़ पड़ गए, धुआं में बंद रही कमरों में.
So terrifying experience. It's been similar like this across for many people. 42, like I said, have already lost their lives. I want to get in Dr. Anwar over here from the Al Hind Hospital. Dr. Anwar was called on the phone as evidence in that historic emergency midnight hearing that took place at the residence of Justice Muralidharan, who we now know has been transferred. He was called to hear a plea to ensure the safe passage of patients to hospital. Dr. Anwar, thank you for joining us. I know you're busy. Your hospital right now is still overrun by patients. But take us through what happened. What was your experience at night? Why did this case have to go all the way to the courts, the Delhi High Court? Dr. Anwar?
Actually, hello. Haan, hello. Haan. Actually, ambulance ko aane nahi diya ja raha tha. Aur hamare paas लॉट ऑफ जो इंजर्ड थे काफ़ी सीवियर इंजर्ड थे, हेड इंजरी थी और वाइटल ऑर्गन्स जो इन्वॉल्व थे वहाँ इंजर्ड थे। तो इस वजह से हमने बार बार जो पॉसिबल रास्ते थे उनसे रिक्वेस्ट किया था कि आप यहाँ जो है एम्बुलेंस भेजें, लेकिन कहीं से कोई हमें मदद ना मिली।
नहीं, आपने पुलिस को मिली किया, और आपने जैसे को हमने किया, आपने कॉल किया पुलिस को?
हाँ, पुलिस को 112 नंबर जो पे कॉल किया, एम्बुलेंस कैट के लिए 102 नंबर पे कॉल किया और बहुतों कई दफ़ा कॉल किया, और कैट्स वाले एक दो मरतबा उठाए भी तो वो मुस्तफाबाद का नाम सुन के उन्होंने रिफ्यूज़ कर दिया, बोला कि हम वहाँ नहीं जा सकते हैं। तब हमने जो है अपने और जो फ्रेंड्स थे जो डॉक्टर्स थे उनको कॉल किया कि यहाँ हालात बहुत बुरे हैं, आप प्राइवेट तौर से एम्बुलेंस अरेंज करके यहाँ भेजें।
जब तो हमने हॉस्पिटल छोटी हॉस्पिटल है और जो पेशेंट्स थे वहाँ पे वो सीरियस केसेस हाँ, थे और आप उनको दूसरे हॉस्पिटल में लेना चाहते थे, इज दैट द सिचुएशन?
जी हम
नहीं, तो आपने पुलिस को फोन की तो जी, क्या बोला था, कॉन्वर्सेशन कैसे थी, उन्होंने क्या बोला आपको?
एक्चुअली पुलिस से जो कंट्रोल रूम को हम बार बार कॉल कर रहे थे तो बोला कि हम कर रहे हैं, लेकिन उसके बाद कोई मदद नहीं आ रही थी। और जब हम लोकल एडमिनिस्ट्रेशन को कॉल किया, जैसे SHO को, DCP को, तो वहाँ से हम रेगुलर उनका मोबाइल बिजी चल रहा था और कई मरतबा कॉल करने के बाद उठा भी नहीं रहे थे। तो ये बहुत एक बहुत बड़ी प्रॉब्लम थी कि जो हमें हुकूमत से और प्रशासन से किसी तरह की कोई मदद नहीं मिल पा रही थी।
That's और जो हम प्राइवेट तौर से जो एम्बुलेंस ओवर द पास्ट फ्यू डेज नो वन वाज कमिंग टू आवर एड, नो वन वाज कमिंग टू आवर हेल्प। वी हैव अ डॉक्टर ओवर हियर, मैम यू आर अ डॉक्टर, टेल अस योर एक्सपीरियंस, विल यू सब्सटेंशिएट व्हाट डॉक्टर अनवर इज सेइंग?
यस मैम, इन फैक्ट ऑन दैट नाइट आई वाज द वन कोऑर्डिनेटिंग हेल्पिंग पीपल आउट विद द एम्बुलेंस देयर एट अल हिंद। वी गॉट अ मैसेज दैट देयर 10 people with gunshot wounds and it's an emergency, and then I called up the government ambulance were not ready to go, so we arranged for a private ambulance, as well as we went to the Delhi Health Ministry and got a number from somewhere, from few friends, and we told them about the ground situation. With the help of activists, they were able to arrange an ambulance, a government ambulance as well, but they were not allowed to go after a specific point because there was a lot of mob outside Al Hind and the surrounding, and of course the ambulance drivers and everyone feared for their lives. Meanwhile we heard that two of them have died out of 10, so 8 are still there, and then slowly the number swelled to 20 in Al Hind hospital, and that was the time we were like, we are going to save humanity no matter what, we are going to try our level best. So we called up all sorts of people. There's a big team working behind an NGO and some civilian society people who all got...
But all of these are NGOs and civil society groups that are working, not yes, ma'am. Government.
There are few people in the government who were helpful that night.
Okay,
I wouldn't say.
I'm glad you clarified.
Yeah,
okay.
It's not that all of them were at one point. Yes. There were two people whom I spoke with who helped us as well.
And but what's the situation on the ground right now? You still right have patients now with wounds. Are they coming in for treatment?
Yes,
because
ma'am,
things have improved.
What happened?
Though yeah, Section 344 yeah hasn't been removed.
What the people are scared, ma'am. The patients are really scared. They don't. They have been through a traumatic journey. They are psyched out. They are. They fear everybody. They don't trust anyone. They are so scared that I just had to bring a patient after counseling him for so many hours, and you know, tell him to come to the hospital to remove his bullet from his shoulder. The bullet
he had
was
a
still
bullet lodged
in his shoulder, and he was.
Why
scared.
Was he not willing to come? Sorry to ask these possibly obtuse questions, yeah, but if he had a bullet in his shoulder, why would he not want to come to the hospital surely to take it out?
He was scared.
Of what? What do you mean? Please explain.
Okay, so he was taken to GTB hospital, and there he saw lot of conditions of lot of patients who were like scared and, you know, psyched out. And then the doctors there said that the bullet cannot be removed from your shoulder, and they discharged him. And that was when he thought ke I'm not going to trust anybody, and he went back to his home in Kabirnagar. After a while he decided that I'm not going to go anywhere, let's see what happens. And then we reached out to him, counseled him, and finally got him to the hospital. And just now I got a call that the bullet has been removed and he's stable. Okay.
So there's fear and a lot of mistrust on the ground. Geeta Bhatt, I want to go back chronologically to whatever's happened today to update the show a bit. The Prime Minister is the Prime Minister of the entire country. He has made two speeches in UP today. They're 30-minute long speeches. He has not made one word of condolence for the 42 Indians who have lost their lives. Nothing to soothe the anger, the pain, the fear, the mistrust on the ground. And like we said, schools have been burnt. CBSE exams have had to be postponed. 42 people have lost their lives. And this is the Prime Minister who is known to use any platform to make a point. What point is he trying to make now by not speaking for them?
If I remember correctly, the moment the US President left India, after that he had immediately used his platform through which he reaches millions of people, where he had immediately appealing for peace, and that it is very important that there should not be any rioting.
Secondly, and rioting continued for two whole days after
Yes, this is very unfortunate, and as I have been hearing the stories, it is so unfortunate. People, in Bhajanpura, one of the hospitals was totally gutted down. It has been burned down where there were newborn babies inside. So it is both sides. There are people who have suffered a lot. I do not know how many of them are there over here. But the fact remains that, something which started as a protest, it is very important to understand that there are people, unfortunately, and of course there are people in the political setups, in political parties, who for ages have used this tool of fear mongering and created this fear among the minorities against the majorities, as if they are going to take away their political rights and their identity, which unfortunately is untrue. It is totally untrue.
But
and
actually,
CAA,
Geeta,
this whole
actually
while all this has happened
has been the BJP leader Kapil Mishra's threat to the police.
Yes, I will come to that.
Or if you want to go back further, it has to be with the communal statements made by BJP leadership on the election trail in Delhi. And now the chickens
have come
home.
There are many leaders. Some you have named. There are many from All India AIM also, from Aam Aadmi Party also, from all political setups. People have been coming out and saying things which are very unfortunate. But it is important to say that those who are well educated and know very well that CAA has nothing to do with any Indian citizen, whether it is Muslim, Hindu, Christian, Sikh. We all know that. I think you will accept that.
Let me remind you what the question here is. Who's responsible? Will anyone be held accountable? Who's responsible? The Delhi police reports to the Home Minister.
You see, this is something which is, of course, there have been lapses. You cannot deny that. There are lapses because of which this has happened. But it is also important to look into the root cause, that how come such kind of hate can come between people when Ankit Sharma had been stabbed 400 times. Imagine, the forensic report says that this person has been stabbed from 2 to 3 hours continuously.
Absolutely, I'm glad you brought this up. Nobody should die a horrific death like Ankit Sharma did and the 41 others did in Delhi. The question
is,
who is accountable? My question is, who is accountable? Who is going to answer to Ankit Sharma's mother and to the other 41 people who died, to their mother? Who is responsible? Should Kapil Sharma be held accountable for this? He threatened the police, saying that if you don't clear the protesters at Jafarabad, we'll show you what happens next. Who's going to answer to Ankit Sharma's mother?
We can interpret the way we want to interpret it, but the objection, and there are many people, Sarah, who have strong objections to the fact that particular road has been blocked for more than 2 months, which is a public space. public, you have a
so
right
you
to
tell
protest,
the police,
but
you
public
clear
place,
this road or
is it
or
that
I will
the
take
freedom of expression is so important
hand.
Of few people
Gita,
that the whole society
this.
Can
you
be held up,
you know,
held
Sharma's
ransom to
name,
it, that you can block
you,
a major road.
Some
this is something
Sharma's
on which I would like to know what others have a viewpoint on.
Sharma, will
they have
disown him?
No,
the
you see, no one has a right. No one has a right. Neither no one, no person has a right to say that 15 crore are going to, you know, dominate over 100 crore and we are abhi to hamari
so you're finding a justification for the violence.
To aap pe pata
are you
chalega?
Finding a justification for the
no,
lives of 42
one,
people
two wrongs do not make
ended.
A right, but please point a finger to each and everyone. That is what I'm trying to tell on this show.
All right, let's go ahead. So one second, tell us a little bit about yourself. Obviously you're a Sikh, so I want to ask you, sir, that the 1984 riots, this has again brought back all those horrific memories of that. As a resident of Delhi, did you think you would see something like this again? Are there any similarities between what's happened now and then? Because you see, the BJP keeps using the 84 riots against the Congress. And the irony is, in a few years, they'll say that about the Congress. And the Congress will now say, look at Delhi 2020, and the public will continue to be made a giant fool of.
Ma'am, I'll answer it in Hindi.
Please do.
Because the thing is, pehli baat, 84 na hum bhule hain. ना आगे आने वाली नस्ल को भूलने देंगे सबसे पहले. और दूसरा पे वेरी रिस्पेक्टफुली मैम, ये हमारे को माइनॉरिटीज करके बुलाना क्यों शुरू कर दिया? वी आर इंडियंस, हाउ कैन यू टैग अस? दिस इज नॉट द वे. ये किसी के राइट नहीं है कि ये माइनॉरिटी है. क्या माइनॉरिटी है? इफ वी आर इनटू माइनॉरिटीज तो आपको हमारा ज्यादा ख्याल रखना चाहिए. हमारे को क्यों डिसोन कर रहे हैं? एक बात आपको बताएं, वी हैव बीन वर्किंग देयर फॉर लास्ट 5 days, मुस्तफाबाद एवरीवेयर.
I just despite or perhaps because they have been victims in the past and they know what it feels like, they have come out openly to help the victims of today.
Kyunki 84 ko humne dekha hai, humne apne upar jhela hai, is karke hum yahan pe khade hain. Hamare liye Hindu Musliman koi nahi hai. Jo banda bhi koi bhi peedit hai uske liye hum khade hain aur uske liye khade rahenge. Jo seva hum kar sakte hain hum karenge. At the moment we have set up our relief camps. पीछे सलमान भाई बैठे हैं, डॉक्टर रिजवान अली बैठे हैं, उधर मैंने सारा का सारा खाना जो भी है चीज उधर पहुंच रही है, देयर नेसेसिटीज वहां पे. अपार्ट फ्रॉम दैट वी हैव अ मेडिकल कैंप देयर, वी हैव 4 doctors देयर. हमारी कोशिश ये है क्योंकि यहाँ से जो उनसे पेशेंट्स हैं वो गुरु तेग बहादुर हॉस्पिटल में रेफर किए जाते हैं. वहां पे इतनी भीड़ है कि वहां पे रखे नहीं जा सकते, तो वी आर ट्राइंग टू गिव द फर्स्ट एड ओवर देयर ओनली, और उसके अंदर से सीरियस जो उनसे उनको लेके जाए. We have been using our own ambulances. I have my friends here. One is from Sikh Chamber of Commerce. The other friend is from Chandigarh. He has arranged for the 2 ambulances from Chandigarh.
So you're doing what you can to help out. But this brings back memories of 84, because even today we say that, you know, the victims of the 84 riots say that they haven't gotten justice. Are we going to be here 25 years on saying the same?
And the thing is, ki what happened in 84, ye wo cheez nahi hai. 84... क्योंकि वी वर सिंगल्ड आउट, और उस टाइम के ऊपर भी हमारे पास तो इतना भी टाइम नहीं था कि हम अपने दरवाजों को कुंडी लगा सके. अभी यहाँ पे हम इनके साथ खड़े हैं, हिंदू भी इनके साथ खड़े हैं. इस करके ये वो नुकसान जो 84 में हुआ वो अभी संभावना नहीं है. मगर आगे ये काम ना हो उसके लिए सबसे पहले तो दीज हेट वीडियोज और ये जो सी हेट स्पीचेस चलती हैं जिससे प्रवोक किया जाता है वो रोकनी जरूरी है. और सबसे पहले आज की डेट के अंदर हमारे इंडिया को जो जरूरत है, डेट इज एजुकेशन, हेल्थ, ये पॉवर्टी से बचना. ये छोटे मोटे फालतू के पंगों में अंदर डाल के सारे सिटीजन को इस तरफ उस तरफ
all of it burnt to the ground, the benches systematically pulled out of each and every classroom, brought to the center of the school courtyard or playground, and then burnt. Who stands to blame?
Helping Muslims now. We evacuated six families yesterday, Hindu families. Unko humne respective hospitals mein diya, sabko diya. अब हमारे को ये सुनने को मिलता है क्योंकि ये मुसलमानों की मदद कर रहे हैं तो अब सिख जो हैं इनको भी मारो. और ये नेट के ऊपर चल रही है कि जो मुल्ले गुरुद्वारों में बैठे हैं वो गुरुद्वारे जला दो. अब ये जो सी चीजें हैं, दिस इज नॉट पॉसिबल विदाउट द हेल्प ऑफ द गवर्नमेंट मशीनरीज टू पुट ऑन.
Okay, that's the point. This is not possible without the government machinery. Vikram Singh, please come in over here. You are the former DGP of the UP police. Right now, a huge blot, a huge stain on the reputation of the Delhi police. None of this would have been possible, say, people who've been on the ground, who've been witness to what has happened over the next 5 days. How can you have riots carry on for 5 whole days?
A professional police force, a proactive police force, would not allow grass to grow underneath their feet. And this is exactly what happened. Advanced intelligence was there. And in the backdrop of the fact that you did not arrest a single, not a single preventive arrest, not a single NACA, not a single area domination exercise, and what the basic policing is, which even a head constable could have done, did not happen in the world-class police that we have here, where we are sitting.
No, but who is responsible? Who is accountable?
The buck stops at the table of the police commissioner. He is responsible for maintaining law and order and control of crime in the Delhi area. And
We now have a new police commissioner.
Individuals change, the system does not change. I hold the earlier police response squarely responsible. What happened the 2nd November last year? He did not act. When it's the Jamia Millia, you use excessive force. When it is JNU, you choose to sit silent and wait for the formal invitation of the Vice Chancellor. I mean, is there any predictability in the way you're conducting your affairs?
No, or my question is this incompetence or is this complicity? Because it's not a case of they were overrun. It's an 80,000 strong force. There are cases where the Reuters correspondent says that he saw a policeman encouraging supporters of the CAA to throw stones at anti-CAA protesters. 13,200 distress calls were made to the police over the last 5 days.
You've answered the question yourself, that the police force is supposed to be a wonderful fighting and a saving machinery. But when
no,
the top
are they
leadership
acting on the behest of someone? They're two separate things. On one hand, either you have the police who are incompetent.
Incompetence is a lighter indictment.
But were they complicit?
Incompetence is a lighter sentence to such a degree. Nalayak to koi bhi ho sakta hai. Lekin mulavvis agar hai. So that is even a cardinal, being involved and being impacted by the political environment. There's a word used, environment, that in this environment we cannot. I really fail to understand. There are eminent lawyers here who would like to teach me my rudiments of law. Since when has environment come into the picture of lodging FIRs? That environment seems to have very adversely impacted the thinking process and the decision-making procedure of the top police leadership. And the police leadership is top-heavy, and whatever happens there percolates down to the lowest level. This would not have happened if the SHOs were competent and did what they were expected to do and what they were paid for.
Harsh Mandar, we talk about the environment. Have things calmed down? Because the centre says, yes, things have calmed down. And I think I said 344 before. Section 144, they're saying, is still in place, but violence has ended. Yet today we heard at Delhi's busiest metro station in rush hour, people were still chanting that slogan that has been now popularized, but first originally made by senior BJP leaders. Goli Maro, etc., etc.
See, the environment of hate has not been created overnight. We have watched it systematically. In fact, I see the last several years, there has been a social normalization of hate led from the very top. The lynchings that happened, I've been around the country, the kind of hatred that was unleashed around the country, all of that
it adds up somewhere.
And where it is, what we're seeing is not the normalization, the legitimization, and even the valorization of hatred and bigotry from the top. That is what has resulted in the situation today. I feel, and I just wanted to say that I think India will still save itself, because in the protests that we have seen around the country, the kind of unity between Hindus, Muslims, Sikhs, and Christians, people coming out and saying we will not allow our government to divide us on the basis of religion and hate, that I think is what has rattled this government. And they're going to try even harder and harder to divide us on the basis of hate. We have to show them in Delhi. And I think, the stories that we hear, when I see my Sikh brothers here, I saw the Khalsa group out, they've come all the way from the UK. We see Hindus have protected Sikhs who've protected. In the end, this battle is going to be fought in our hearts. And I think we will still win. despite the most, I mean, I would say it amounts to evil when we see our political leaders actually fostering hatred and division between us.
So you're saying this is a response because the government was rattled by the dissent that we saw across the country. Mehmood Racha, you're a lawyer. The role of the law, the constitution, the high courts, the Supreme Court also has come into question here when you talk about who is coming to the aid of the victims of these riots across both sides. But you particularly are amongst those named in a plea in the High Court. That was again a case that was being heard by Justice Muralidhar, who no longer will be hearing this plea when it comes up in April, I think. You have been, there's a plea against you, amongst others, for speaking out against the government. Basically, they've called it anti-national. So is this dissent now going to be quelled because of the violence that we've seen over the past few weeks? Because many people admit that they are scared, there's fear.
Exactly. That is the way they are going to quell dissent. Mr. Kapil Mishra, along with Mr. And I will answer the first question which you raised. Mr. Kapil Mishra, along with Mr. Ved Prakash Arya, the DCP, and their principals, who chose a time of Trump's visit. Now, this also, apart from the way they are going to quell this dissent, peaceful dissent, by shooting people, by Mr. Kapil Mishra is seen bringing truckloads of stones. We have all the videos. Standing with Mr. DCP Northeast. This is the way. But there is another aspect also. Why Delhi police was behaving the way for 3 days, why it did, was because of the Trump's visit. There is clearly a power struggle going on in the BJP dispensation, the government, which was the reason one faction was trying to show that Trump's visit is a failure. They have to bring down India's name, and the other faction was trying to show that India... Trump's visit is a big success.
No, Kapil Mishra was
belonging to that faction which wanted to fail Trump's visit.
Kapil Mishra was trying to make this government look bad.
Yes, one faction. And that's very serious, and we are trying to prove that only. And that is something you people should investigate in great detail. Why was this timing of 23rd chosen by Mr. Kapil Mishra along with a senior officer of Delhi police? That needs to be investigated.
I think you've touched upon an important point about timing. Nick?
Finish my.
Sure, go ahead.
You asked certain other questions. So Supreme Court and High Court make two very relevant observations regarding Delhi police. Supreme Court said, had the police behaved in professional manner, had the police followed law, nothing like this would happen in the country. One. Two. And Justice Muralidhar's observation, which is there in the order also. Police is very efficient. He's praised police. He said that when we gave an instruction and police wanted to follow it, it followed it to the T within minutes. And that is the observation in the judgment. So no, they are extremely professional. They are just following directions.
The police always waits for orders to protect
and they are complicit.
The police is designed to work on autopilot.
Where are these orders coming from?
The police are designed to work on autopilot. They need not...
3 seconds more.
So I think you made an important point. I don't want to lose that chain of thought. So go ahead.
I will not. Just two lines. And that line is, we have ample proof to show that police is directly undertaking violence. So they are following orders from the top.
That's exactly the point,
yes.
Legally speaking, the police are on autopilot mode. They require no instructions from any quarter, especially the political ones. The CRPC and the IPC are the Bible, and that is all that they need to refer to. And that is easier said than done.
Well,
but the ground reality
times,
is
that
show me the man and I'll show you the rules. I would have been very satisfied if Kapil Mishra, Amanatullah Khan, Waris Pathan, Anurag
Thakur,
if their statements were verified by the legal department, vetted by the legal department, FIRs lodged, and then subjected to legal scrutiny, rather than wait for a particular environment, which is not going to happen in my lifetime.
For that. All right. Nick, this violence began breaking out on the eve of the U.S. President Donald Trump's two-day visit to India. You are someone who works with advising foreign governments, institutions, etc., about India, about investments in India, about visiting India. What has the feedback been? What do you say to people who ask you about India right now?
Can I first say, Muslims died, Hindus died, Indians died.
Yes.
People died. And the perpetrators were some Muslim, some Hindu, some Indian, all people. we the people died and we the people committed these atrocities. Correct. He who sees the difference where there is unity wanders on from death to death. It's a line from the Katha Upanishad. Until we recognize our common humanity between us, whether Hindu, Muslim, Christian, whether Indian, American, whoever, until we recognize our common humanity and realize that we are also the perpetrators and the enablers of the violence and of the tension and the building up that creates these situations, these things will happen again and again and again, whether here or anywhere else in the world.
Well said. But how has this changed India's image? Because India was known really for the growth story. Right now, yesterday evening, the new GDP figures came out and they've again fallen. They've dipped to 4.7. So when you advise people now in India, whether it's visiting, whether it's investing, does this play a role? Has this taken a beating in international? Has India taken a beating internationally? Because we have Prime Minister Modi. We've had a riot in Gujarat when he was Chief Minister. And now we have a riot in Delhi when he's the Prime Minister and the Delhi police reports to the Home Minister.
The world has always seen India through many different lenses at different periods, whether it's the exotic wealth of the Orient or whether it's a land where supposedly pagan savages live that must be civilized. Okay? And that was part of the 19th century European view of India, and that's part of the 21st century Western view of India. So there are those who see India as a land of wealth and opportunity and now want to come here and do business. And there are people who want to spread stories.
Changed?
And there are people who want to spread stories of the violence and tensions within the country because it helps them feel like they're more superior or more civilized.
Correct.
Which is not the truth.
We've also
Northeast Delhi has one of the highest, probably the highest crime rate of a police district in the whole of Delhi. Population of 2.5 million people. There are still fewer murders in Northeast Delhi, even including the horrific attacks that happened this week, than there are in the cities of Houston or Chicago of comparable populations in America.
Yet we've seen the UN Human Rights Chief lash out at India over these riots. Bernie Sanders tweeted about this. So it has had repercussions. It has been seen and felt.
Isn't this awful, though? That you have foreign politicians using events that are happening on the other side of the world for their own ends.
Well, Bernie Sanders every was responding to Donald Trump coming to India in an election year and being feted by the entire stadium.
Every tweet or message that anyone, whether it's Trump or Bernie Sanders, is sending out, is they are doing so for a reason, their own self-interests. They think that is a message that will help them.
That is a good point. So our politicians are the same across the board, whether in India
What we should be talking about, what's missing from the foreign coverage, the media stories, is the fact that there are Hindus and Muslims helping each other in these communities. There are Hindus protecting Muslims, there are Muslims protecting Hindus, and all over this city and all over this country, there are people living side by side and supporting each other. Is the real story of hope and
I'm
the story of
truth.
I'm
glad you mentioned that because we have one young man here who has that story, and like you said, we do want to highlight stories like that. Your name is Salman.
Salman Siddiqui.
Tell us about yourself, Salman, and your experience over the last few days. Because we have Nick over here saying what we need to highlight is that people across the board, across different communities, different religions, have been coming together to say that these divisions don't represent us or speak for us. Aapki experience kya hai?
Dekhiye, mera experience ye hai. Danga jo hua hai, ye किसी एक कम्युनिटी ने या दूसरी कम्युनिटी ने नहीं किया, ये नेताओं ने करवाया है और ये इधर उधर के भाषण से, स्पीच से सब कुछ हुआ है. हमने सोशल वर्क किया है, उसके अंदर बहुत सारे जो परिवार है उनको रेस्क्यू किया है, जो हिंदू परिवार है उनको भी रेस्क्यू करके उनके वहाँ पहुँचाया है, मंदिरों की भी रक्षा की है. और हमारे सिख भाई हमारे टीम में है, ये साथ ही काम हम दोनों ने किया है. लेकिन इसके अंदर जो सारी कुल मिला के ये है कि गवर्नमेंट की ढील रही और पुलिस की ढील रही, उस पे दोनों पे ही एक्शन होना चाहिए. ये गवर्नमेंट देखिए 75 दिन से प्रोटेस्ट चल रहा था शाहीन बाग के अंदर, उसके अंदर पीसफुली प्रोटेस्ट चल रहा था, तो अभी एकदम ये उग्र इधर से क्यों हो गया? उस साइड से तो कुछ नहीं हुआ, तो वो तो अपनी मांग कर रहे हैं. उसके अपोजिट के अंदर आप ये कहोगे कि 3 दिन के अंदर नहीं उठेगा हटेगा तो हम हटा देंगे, ये तो गवर्नमेंट करेगी, आप कौन होते हैं?
Geeta, would you like to respond to that? A point he's made, you've had protests going on for 40 days, but they were peaceful. And then in suddenly
well,
in four Sarah, days
I would
we've
like
seen
to
this.
Differ a little bit on this.
Sorry.
And that is because, you know, if you remember that when this protest had started, at that time also in east of Delhi, in Seelampur area, there, you know, stone throwing and these incidents had started. School buses were stopped in between. A man who was trying to throw a petrol bomb, he lost his hand because, you know, it blasted in his hand. All these
so
incidents, and it is not here.
There was
in
a build up
UP,
to this.
In UP
also,
you know that,
point.
You know, there
were, why were these
stone
signs
throwing
missed?
On the police forces
is this
and
an
then,
intelligence,
you know,
failure?
All this has happened. It is not, but that
no,
time
no,
it
I
got
agree.
Controlled.
Is this an intelligence failure?
That
Sir,
time it
I
got
like
controlled. You know, that it is somehow.
So again, who is responsible? So, was this an intelligence failure? Because as Geeta points out, there was a build-up to
of
this.
Of course
there
it was an intelligence failure. You had
violence.
Everything writ large on the walls and it was as clear as daylight that things are brewing up very adversely. And you should have taken stock of the facility and a proactive action was required. But about Shaheen Bagh, may I make two remarks? It is peaceful on the face of it, but an agitation has to be legal also. Do you have the requisite permission? Do you have the permission to squat at a particular place? Are you causing any inconvenience to the neighbors? And the admonition of the Supreme or the observations of the Supreme Court will also cannot be ignored and swept underneath the carpet. Though before we pass a judgment that this agitation is peaceful, peace has many connotations and dimensions. Legal, possibility, the Supreme Court directives, they all have to be taken
but
into account.
But it was peaceful in the sense peaceful. No lives have been lost. 42 lives haven't been lost.
I beg your pardon. Peaceful does not necessarily mean that you do not indulge in violence. But my agitation is creating inconvenience to the neighbor that cannot be termed as totally peaceful. And if I pass on my insidious ambition on the shoulders of trusting dadis, that is also not very peaceful.
Well, we have a separate show. We can do a separate show on the pros and cons and of protesting and who's allowed to protest, whether dadis are allowed to or not. We can do that later. But Rana Safi, please come in over here. You know, one of the important points raised here, I think, by ma'am was the fact that one of the most horrific, searing images of the past 5 days has been of this school completely burnt down. Like I said, systematically, these rioters went into each classroom, pulled out each of these heavy benches, brought it to the center of the school, burnt them to a crisp, you know, went class by class and broke each classroom. Who stands to gain by, you know, burning a classroom? Because this couldn't have happened within half an hour for sure. It must have been at least 3-4 hours that they stayed going class by class, opening safes, those, you know, old Godrej safes that have the admit cards of kids, of students who have board exams to give this week.
When this kind of violence happens, I don't think anybody reasons. Whether you are burning a school or you are burning a person, you are indulging in violence and you are taking out all those frustrations. I would like to comment here on something that Geeta ma'am said about the fear-mongering. I get a lot of WhatsApp messages asking me whether this is true, because as a historian, I'm asked very often, yeah, is there any truth to it? The kind of history that is being promoted on WhatsApp, the kind of messages that are being promoted on WhatsApp are not conducive to the kind of people that we are, or to anyone's mental health or mental or emotional well-being. It is, we are constantly going on pumping hatred against and creating the other. Something which I have never seen. I am now 63 years old. I've lived and in India most of my life, and I have never ever seen this kind of distrust, this kind of insecurity, or the kind of mistrust between communities. I have grown up playing Holi and with people coming to my house on Eid, celebrating Diwali, hanging a star on Christmas. I've grown up doing that. Today, if I talk about that, I'm abused by both sides. I'm told, oh, ye to Ganga Jamne wali hai, ye kahan se aa gayi, ye to idealist hai, ye to duniya bachi hi nahi. Wo ye duniya kyun nahi bachi? We Indians are we have a civilizational legacy. We have 23 languages are official languages, and we have so many communities, more than 4,500 communities make up India. So many different religions, all the major religions of the world make up India. Why can't we live in peace? And why wasn't this? Why weren't these signs seen? Why was this the WhatsApp messages, of course, have been going on. The hatred on social media had been going on. These hate speeches have been going on. whoever does it, as you said, it's an Indian who's doing it, it's an Indian who is perishing, and it's Indian who is suffering. I'm suffering as an Indian. I'm not suffering as a woman or a Muslim or a minority or anything. I'm suffering as an Indian, and I'm suffering for my India.
Nick, is that the USP when you bring, I know you also bring students, international students to India to visit. Is that the USP of India, that you can go and visit the Taj in Agra, you can go see the Basilica in Goa, you can see the Ajanta Ellora Caves, or you can see the Sun Temple in Konark? Has that been the great pull of India?
Yeah, you can go to, you know, a Mandir, Masjid, Wali Gali, where you see all religions practiced on the same street by neighbours. Whether you're in you know, Mumbai and Dharavi, or whether you're in Old Delhi, you know, we live side by side here. People from all over India and all over the world. There's nowhere like India. It's truly unique in its ability to assimilate, to enable people to express themselves. I mean, every kind of Muslim
is here in India. And if we lose that,
it would be
a huge loss. It would be detrimental. It would be against our own interests. So, you know, we've learned a lot about an anatomy of a riot from this panel, but nobody has responded to my original question. Major Shah, then let me try you about who is going to be held accountable, who is responsible. 25 years, will we be still doing programs where the victims of the 2020 riots, the Delhi riots, are saying that, you know, they're still seeking justice? Your father was is General Zamiruddin Shah. He was a former chief of army staff. He was in Gujarat on the ground during the riots. Does this bring back memories of what his experience was then?
Well, I will not speak on behalf of my father, but I'll speak as a proud Indian who served the country, who put his life at stake on several occasions safeguarding the national frontiers in the army in J&K Northeast. I'll tell you my experience. We have heard Sardar Sahab say over here just now, hum 84 ko kabhi bhulne bhi nahi denge. It takes three generations to forget. It takes a lifetime to forget. And let me tell you, 42 deaths, not a joke. You know, the greatest thing about India, still I'm hopeful. Why? Because the majority of Indians are not communal. The majority community is not communal. When Muslims were dying, maximum Hindus saved them. When Hindus were dying, it was Muslims who came forward and saved them. I'm still hopeful. I'm still optimistic about that. Secondly, we talk about politics of hate. Which party did hate? It was proved in Delhi elections. Which party spoke of development, progress, education, healthcare? I mean, which welfare? I mean, which party spoke of that? It was proved. Now, Geeta, your question is still not answered when Senate asked you, what is the message that the Prime Minister is trying to convey by not condoling the deaths of the riot victims? That I observed, that answer still didn't come from you. You spoke about him, one second. We'll come to this. You have to answer Sarah for this. Now, I want to know one more thing. Today, the root cause is CAA, right? How many of us have actually bothered to take the trouble to read a small three-page thing on frequent... Forget about CAA. I'm not even coming there. Frequently asked questions on CAA. We haven't. Let me tell you, let me advise the nation, please read CAA. It won't take much of your time.
What the BJP and also what Geeta said, that nobody is informed correctly about...
Let me make this clear, you know, please read CAA, understand it thoroughly. And once you understand it, please form an opinion thereafter, whether you're for it or against it. I'm fine, even if you're against it or for it, fine. But read it, understand it.
Don't go
on hearsay.
Okay.
Unhone bola tha, kaun?
Correct, fair enough. But Geeta, are you against it or are you for it?
I am dead against it.
Okay.
I am dead against it. You have understood it. Today at 2 a.m., if you wake me up from my sleep and ask me to do a handstand...
And why are you against it?
I will tell you.
And why are you against it?
I will tell you.
Yeah, please.
And that will
not on this platform.
Paragraph 4 of CAA. I will tell you backwards.
Why are you not on this platform? We have to talk about
you
are important. Yeah, at least tell me. People have lost their lives.
You mentioned six communities in CAA, right?
No. I'm sorry. This is not the platform for this. Sorry, Geeta. I'm sorry.
He's coming to
Geeta,
the point.
Geeta,
this is what
Geeta,
I was talking
Geeta,
about.
Geeta, one second.
This is what I was talking about.
One second.
This is what I was talking about.
Geeta, please. Just bring Geeta's mic down. Please bring Geeta's mic down. We're bringing your mic down. We are bringing your mic down. Let me explain something to you. It is not Major Khan's job to explain to you what the CAA is. Let me tell you whose job it is. It is the Home Minister's job. It is the Prime Minister's job. It is not Major Khan's job to be He's sitting on this show, Geeta Bhatt, please stop screaming. Let me explain something to you, Geeta. It is not Major Khan's job to come and explain, Major Shah's job to explain to anyone what the CAA is. It is the job of the Home Minister.
Correct.
It is the job of the Prime Minister.
Correct.
They should have gone to Shaheen Bagh. And they should have spoken to the protesters. And they should have removed the misconception. So please do not put him on the spot. It is not his job. And I do not want to hear from him what his views are on CAA.
No one has put him on the spot. Geeta, I will answer you.
Please, let the Prime Minister speak up. Let the Prime Minister speak up. Let the Home Minister speak up.
If you have understood,
let the Prime Minister speak up.
Geeta,
all right, can we not have screaming? Can we please not have screaming?
You asked me at 2 a.m. Maybe do a handstand. I'll rattle out backwards.
Major Shah, please. Major Shah, please. Can we move on? I want to go across to Harsh. I think an important point that Major Shah made, and here even this gentleman seems to have made, and others on the show, is that perhaps this time the difference from 1984, the difference from the Gujarat riots, has been that we are seeing a fight back. We are seeing members of all communities come out to support each other and say, we see the games you're playing. Right. We see that you're trying to make us political pawns, and we're not going to have it. Yeah. You have your ear on the ground. You've been working on this issue. You're the peace activist. Do you still have hope after all this?
See, I, you know, when I go among the communities, the kind of, you know, the deja vu of, you know, I've seen this in 1984, I've seen this in 2002, how long, the same stories, the kind of suffering, you know, when we have this kind of shouting match in the middle of the suffering that people have undergone,
it
just,
it was me, okay, fine, you can do your,
please, I'm just saying, people have suffered enormously, and jo log toot jate hain ek ghar banane mein, tum taras nahi khate hain bastiyon jalane mein, that is we have to remember the suffering that has happened. I think that, you know, even in Gujarat, and I've spent many years working among the Gujarat victims, I found that there were more Hindus who saved lives, many more Hindus who saved lives at great risk than those who took lives. I think that is why we are still the country that we can be, and that is exactly what we are seeing, and the pride that I feel when I saw, you know, people have flown in from Khalsa Aid, they've collected, I think, some £7 million, I don't know how many pounds. They're just out there in the middle, not worried about anything, saving lives. Hindus are protecting Muslims. Muslims are protecting
Hindus.
Okay,
Harsh, but call me a pessimist, but isn't that what we say in Bombay every time a blast? You know, the spirit of Bombay, we will come, we'll come together, we'll work together. After the Gujarat riots, you will see people come together, work together. Yeah. But again, will anyone be held accountable? Who is going to respond to the parents who have lost their children?
You're absolutely right.
It's against the law of nature for a parent to have to bury or burn or cremate their child.
See, true healing requires four things very, very quickly. The first is acknowledgement. We had, at least in 2002, a media which told the story truthfully. Today we are not, I mean, one of the biggest griefs that we hear from people is that we have suffered and we are being portrayed as the perpetrators. That has changed a lot. See, we don't even have acknowledgement. Then there's remorse that the Prime Minister, you know, he should follow the Prime Minister of New Zealand. What did she do? She went the very next day. She covered her head. She embraced. From her face, you could see the suffering when the people had been killed. It healed people. We don't need Prime Ministers who seem to have no compassion whatsoever. And so on. The third is reparation, that we not only help, we help people rebuild their lives. Your suffering, we can never bring back your loved one, we'll rebuild. And the last is justice. We're not having any of that. Healing is not going to happen. These wounds will be carried on from generation to generation to generation.
Fortunately, we are out of time. That's all we have time for. And on that note, thank you for joining us on We the People tonight. This is a show where we believe it's important to speak up, but it's also important to listen. And I hope we did some of the latter tonight. Thank you all for joining us.